It's three good mornings you all have had to do this morning. You didn't sign up for that, did you? But we do appreciate you all being here with us. Thank you for everybody who's joining us on Facebook. And we do appreciate Jessica and Bree doing the ceremony for the baby day. And we appreciate all our young families and children. I had a big note in big letters at the top of this that I almost forgot to do. We need to dismiss the kids. Any that want to go to children's church or we church or the nursery or wherever, you are more than welcome to go on now. But I did not want to forget that. All right. Oh, after choir, a lot. No, that's okay. After choir. Stay around until the choir sings. Choir practice will be at 5 today, so anybody who would like to join the choir, please be here at 5 for practice. And then this evening, for evening worship, we'll be hearing in person and then also on Facebook Live, but will not be on Zoom this evening, and the same is true for this Wednesday evening. So just Facebook Live and in person for those of you who normally join us on Zoom just for this Sunday and Wednesday night. We have been handing out the T-shirts. We've still got some on the table back there in the back. If you had ordered T-shirts and you've not had a chance to pick those up, please get with us after the service this morning and get those picked up. You know, T-shirts or polos, either one, and don't forget about that. And also, don't forget to pay for those if you've not done that yet. That's an important piece of that, too. But Mary will be glad to tell you who you are if you have paid and if you've picked them up in case you have forgotten. I mentioned, of course, Wednesday evening service, like I said, just Facebook Live and in person. No, Zoom, 6:30 this Wednesday. And then next Saturday, we are having a work day here at the church as we normally do in the spring. So there will be something for everybody to do. We're going to be meeting here at 9 next Saturday morning. So there's stuff to do inside. There's stuff to do outside. If there's anything that you would like to bring to use that you think would help, that you could be a help with, if you've got a chainsaw, if you've got hedge trimmers, if you've got lopping shears, if you've got, you know, something you like to clean with, whatever the case may be, we're just going to be trying to clean everything up for the springtime, make things look a little bit better, be doing some cleaning out, and so we would look forward to anybody and everybody who can be here to help us with that as we try to make everything look nice for Mother's Day and then throughout the summer. Don't forget that next Sunday is Mother's Day. I told my Sunday school class that, and I had several mothers in there who had forgotten that next Sunday is Mother's Day. So make sure that you all are getting something for your moms and grandmas. Don't let that sneak up on you. If you do like I normally do and wait till the end of the week, the card selection will be kind of thin. So you want to get on that sooner rather than later. But don't forget about that, and we will be honoring our mothers next Sunday, so want to make sure that you are here worshiping with us then. Of course, many other things in the newsletter. Make sure you're receiving that every Friday and reading through that for all the different things that we have going on within the church. And if for some reason you are not getting that, let us know. We just recognized Kat a few moments ago, but we've got a very nice thank you card from her that I would like to read. It says, First Church of Nazarene, I would like to thank each and every one of you for everything that you did. Eben, do it every time, and I pause too, and I are so lucky to have the most amazing church family. We love and appreciate everything you all did for us, and you all are truly amazing. Thank you all once again. So thank you for everybody who came out last Sunday evening, and we had a good time of fellowship, and we appreciate your support. Thank you all for being here this morning, and thank you all for your support of the church.
One of the joys that you have as a pastor is getting to see new people join the church. And this morning, we have some folks that are transferring their membership into First Church of the Nazarene. And you met them one night during the revival, or you met the first two during the revival. And that's Jack and Faye Oden. Jack and Faye, would y'all stand? Jack is a retired elder in the Church of the Nazarene, and they have come to our area to retire, and we are so glad that they're here and a part of the church. And get by, say hi to them, introduce yourself, and Jack, you'll remember everybody. In fact, I know y'all are going to remember everybody's name this morning. We are so glad that they're transferring here from the Goodlettsville Church in Nashville, in the Nashville area, and we're so glad that y'all are here. May God bless you as you have come our way. Also, this morning we have the opportunity of receiving a transfer who has not been a part of the Church of the Nazarene, and Miss Ruth McAndrew, would you come? And we're going to receive her into the membership of the church like we do with all those who become new members of our church. And we are so glad to have Miss Ruth just came in and got involved. She's teaching one of our Sunday school classes already, and we are so proud to have her. She's transferring to us from Fairfield Glade Methodist, but we're so proud to have her as a part of the congregation. And I want to read the church membership ritual to you to remind all of us why we're part of this congregation, okay? Dearly beloved, the privileges and blessings that we have in community together in the Church of Jesus Christ are sacred and precious. There is in it such hallowed fellowship, care, and the counsel that cannot of godly pastors that cannot be known apart from the family of God. There is the worship and the teaching of the Word. There is cooperation in service, accomplishing that which cannot otherwise be done. Today we affirm again the doctrines and practices of the church. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that human beings are born in sin, that they need the work of forgiveness through Christ and the new birth by the Holy Spirit, that after this there is the deeper work of heart cleansing or entire sanctification through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and that to each of these works of grace the Holy Spirit gives witness. We believe that our Lord will return, the dead shall be raised, and that all shall come to final judgments with its rewards and punishments. Do you believe these things? Amen. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you believe that He saves you now? Praise the Lord. Desiring to unite with the Church of the Nazarene, do you commit to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, as expressed by the covenants of Christian character and conduct? Do you commit to the mission of God as expressed in the doctrine, fellowship, and work of the Church of the Nazarene? Will you support the teachings of the Church of the Nazarene and strive with God's help to grow in your understanding and practice of the same in a way that enhances the witness of the church? Will you endeavor in every way to glorify God by humble walk, godly conversation, and holy service, by giving of your resources and by faithfully practicing in the means of grace? Will you follow Jesus Christ all the days of your life, abstain from all evil, and seek earnestly to perfect holiness of heart and life in the fear of the Lord? If so, say, I will. Miss Ruth, it is such a joy to welcome you into the membership of the church. May God bless you. Yeah. Let's go ahead and get this done. We are the Bobbsey twins today. You're about to find out why. If you noticed in your newsletter, you saw that we are starting a new ministry here at First Church of the Nazarene called Trail Life. More than ever, boys need a uniquely masculine program where they're assertive. I love this. Their assertive, audacious, and adventurous nature is celebrated, not sequestered. Too many boys are turning to virtual worlds of television, video games, digital media, and the internet to find realms they can conquer and areas where they can excel. The result of this virtual conquest is often apathy, apparent rebellion, and outright resistance to a real-world challenge. Trail Life is an environment where boys thrive. Adults are equipped to lead a program in a structured outdoor environment where boys are engaged in real-world challenge and experience camping, hiking, and fishing. They develop skills in riflery, archery, and canoeing and learn character and leadership in a practical, hands-on manner that is naturally engaging. In the outdoors, the experience of adults is never obsolete. Boys find mentors, fathers, and sons can connect. Important relationships are fostered, and boys find opportunity to achieve significant accomplishments.
So just to tell you a little bit more about Trail Life. Trail Life partners with churches and parents across America as the premier national character development organization for young men, which produces generations of godly and responsible husbands, fathers, and citizens. In over 850 churches in all 50 states, fathers and sons are connecting. Relationships are deepening and legacies are beginning as a new generation of godly leaders rises up. Trail Life is divided into three distinct age groups. The first age group is the boys on the Woodlands Trail. That's ages 5 to 10. They gain knowledge about outdoor skills and citizenship, character, friendship, and faith through fun activities, awards, and skill instruction. The second group is navigators. They are from 11 to 13. They gain understanding of their values and beliefs under the guidance of godly role models through being responsible in outdoor adventures and in their home and school life. And then the third area is the adventurers. That's young men ages 14 to 18. And they mature in wisdom and faith through more difficult challenges and leadership activities with Christian men walking alongside. They plan and lead outdoor events and large projects while exercising leadership positions in the troop, even mentoring some of the younger trailmen. And then Trail Life's statement is kind of this. Trail Life is Christ-centered and boy-focused. And we are excited about the opportunity to implement this kind of thing in our community. So for anybody that's interested in this, our first kind of outing, if you will, as our Trail Life troop is going to be May 14th at 9 a.m. at the Cumberland Mountain State Park. There's a hiking trail there that we're going to embark on. Just so you know, I did do a little research, and it is classified as easy. So if that's your thing, then join us on May 14th at 9 a.m. On the 7th of May, here at the church in the Family Life Center, we're going to have a kind of an informational meeting for anybody who's interested in taking part in Trail Life, whether that's kids that want to be a part of it, families, or just people who have an interest in helping out. So if that's something that's interesting to you, then come join us on the 7th at 6 p.m., and there will likely be food there. So
we're beginning this process with the boys, and we hope in the coming year that we're going to be able to start a program by the same group entitled American Heritage Girl. It is girls. It is the equivalent of Trail Life except for girls, and it enables a girl to grow in her faith, cultivate her heart for service, and have more fun than she can imagine is basically what they say about this. And to start this program, we need women volunteers. Who are willing to dedicate themselves to this program for our girls. And so we are excited about this new ministry for the church. We believe God is going to do things. And in talking with the representative from Trail Life, the thing that they emphasize to us is this is a discipleship program. Amen. That's good news. And so we are so thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful for a church board that when you present something to them that is outreach, they say yes without hesitation. And wow, this is an opportunity for us. We're moving forward now. No more preliminaries. We are entering into worship. May the Lord bless you. We're glad you're here this morning.
We're going to open with prayer, if you'll stand with me as you're able. And then we're going to sing a little bit together. Before I do that, I want to just say thank you to the choir for the song they just sang. I wonder what our lives would be like if we really came to the conclusion that we were lost without God. What would it be like if we came to the conclusion that He was literally the air that we breathed and we were desperate for Him? I don't know how many of us are there, but I think we should be. But let's pray together. Father God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to come into your house and worship you. God, this morning, we already sense the consciousness of your presence. But Father, I pray that you would continue to dwell with us in this place. God, as we continue in this service this morning, we don't want to go forward without your presence among us, God. So I pray that you would meet us here. God, through the singing of the songs, that you would speak. And then as your word is preached, Father, I pray that you would allow it to accomplish everything that you would have it to accomplish. God, that you would hide Pastor William behind the cross and that we would hear the words that you would have us to hear this morning. God, we love you. We thank you so much for everything you do for us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Piece of scripture to you. This is probably one of my favorite songs, and I'll explain to you why in just a minute. Prophet Isaiah says this. He says, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God." The second verse of this song says, "I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God." I've lived 29 years. That's it. But I can tell you this. In 29 years, never has God ever forsaken me. And even through the moments of fire, even through the darkest of nights, I can say that He has been with me and He has carried me through. So if you believe this morning that God is good, then I want you to sing like it. Let's sing together.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence,
Lord. Lord Jesus, we are asking you this morning that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would indeed come and flood this place. We pray, Father, that you would help us to have open hearts, open minds, that we might receive from you what you have to say to us as we look into your word together. We're so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity. We're grateful, Lord, for your touch, for your help, for the ways that you have moved in this past week. But, Lord, just because the revival services are finished doesn't mean that revival has to be finished. And so, Lord, we're believing you for that today. May you move on our hearts and lives, and may hearts and lives be changed because of your power, because of your presence, because of the proclaiming of your word. And we believe and ask these things in the precious holy name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning from Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. But didn't we have a great revival? It was an awesome thing. It was a wonderful thing. I'm telling you, you guys have been eating on filet mignon from the Word all week long, and this morning you get Hamburger Helper. I am so thankful that Billy spoke God's Word from his heart each service. And I'm telling you, my heart was blessed. My heart was challenged as a result of the revival. And wouldn't it be great if that spirit of revival just could continue and we could enjoy that all the time? And let me tell you something, I fully and firmly believe that that is a possibility. Amen? I really do believe that. In fact, I've heard of people doing just that, that after a revival meeting, really the best began to happen at that point in time, that God's Spirit began to move as people that had opened their hearts and lives up to God. As they began to move in the power of the Spirit, and hearts and lives were changed, not just in the church, but outside the church, and watched as God did great things. And the revival was great. But what should happen now? I mean, that really has been a burning question. I remember a few years ago as Dave Gallimore preached a revival in Baton Rouge, and he said this. He said, the real results of revival will be what happens in the weeks to come. And as you sat here Wednesday night, Billy challenged us to get up and to get out and to get going. That's basically what he told us.
And I guess that begs the question, does what happened last week have to be a memory? I've already answered that question. The answer is no. That what happened last week and what we felt can continue on in our hearts and lives. I firmly believe that God wants to do something in Crossville First Church of the Nazarene that will not only touch this local church and this body of believers, but I believe that He wants us to begin to reach out to do things maybe that we've never done before, to see new people come to know Jesus first and foremost, and then those new people who have come to know Jesus begin to get involved in the ministry of the church. Well, throughout the Word of God, you find that there were times of revival and renewal. There was a revival that came about because of a 63-word prayer, but that was in 1 Kings chapter 18. You remember the story Pastor Tyler preached to us about it just a few weeks ago. That Elijah came and he prayed as the prophets of Baal had sought to have Baal come and do something all day long. Nothing happened. And finally, at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah gets up. He repairs the altar. He does all that is necessary. And he prays that God's people might experience revival or might at least see revival. And the fire of God fell and consumed the sacrifice and the altar and all the water that had been poured on that altar. It's amazing when you begin to think about that. In Acts chapter 6, you find that God's Word tells us that the Word of God spread and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly and a large number of priests became obedient to faith. And then it says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. God wants to take those who have been touched by revival. God wants to take those who have been touched through renewal and begin to do things in and about them. A great time of revival had occurred there in the book of Acts. But you're also going to find out as you read that not only after that great time of revival happened, you're also going to find that a great time of opposition sprang up. So we need to be wise. We need to be understanding. We need to know that any time there is renewal and revival, that the devil is immediately going to begin his attacks. We have to be wise about those things. I remembered another time of a great revival. A time when the disciples enjoyed the power and the presence of God in such a great way that they did not want to leave. And you find that in Matthew chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, after 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And while He was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, He said. Do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Perhaps the day started out just like any other day for the disciples, but I want you to understand that it was a day that they would never, ever forget. Jesus called Peter, James, and John to go with Him to pray. Now, this was not anything new. This was something that happened all the time. They proceeded up the mountain, and when they reached the top of the mountain, Luke's gospel says that Jesus began to pray, and he also tells us that those 3 disciples became very sleepy. We could preach a sermon about that, but we won't. You know? Peter, James, and John, they were not expecting what came next. While they watched and while they listened, something wonderful began to happen. The face of Jesus began to change in ways that they would even find difficult to describe. Now, these men knew Jesus well. They had been with him for 3 years, and they had heard him speak. They had seen him heal. They had seen the miracles that had been performed. They had seen him touch people, and all of a sudden things changed in their life. They had seen the dead raised. They had confessed their faith that he was the Son of God. But none of that prepared them for what they were about to experience. None of that prepared them to try to absorb what was going on. And as they watched Jesus transformed that way, they became fully aware that there were two other people who were present. Jesus was there talking in the cloud of light. And in some way, they fully understood that this was Moses. And they also understood that it was Elijah, the lawgiver and the great prophet. And here you have the law and the prophets having a conversation with the living word right at that point in time. They may not have understood all that was happening, but in that moment they witnessed the power and the splendor of heaven like they had never experienced before. Peter became so enthralled with all of it. Billy was preaching about this Wednesday night, and I was so afraid because I had already prepared and was working toward my sermon. I thought he was about to steal all my thunder. He reminded us that Peter didn't even know what to say, but even though Peter didn't even know what to say, he began to speak. I have done that before. You have too. And sometimes when we speak without knowing what to say, stupid comes out. Peter was there and he saw it and he said, I love how he says it, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Isn't that kind of the way you felt Wednesday night? Lord, it's good for us to be here. It's good for us to experience your power. It's good for us to experience your presence. It's good to see people who are coming forward to talk with the Father and be a part of what's going on. It's good for us to be here, Lord. And I tell you what I'll do, Lord. I will put up 3 shelters, 3 tabernacles. One for each of you, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Lord, we can just stay here for a while. And then there came a voice from heaven, God the Father speaking, saying, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am pleased. And then you have these words, listen to him. Listen to him. And the Bible says that these men fell on their faces before Jesus. They were terrified. I'm going to tell you, I think that is an understatement. They couldn't even begin to fathom what they were seeing. They couldn't even begin to understand what was going on. What a meeting. What a service. They were so enthralled with what was happening. They just wanted to stay. They wanted to absorb what was going on and that spirit to continue so that they wouldn't have to go down and meet all the world that was around them. Maybe they even thought this was such a spectacular event. I wonder what's going to happen next. Basically, you could say, great revival. Now what? Great revival. Now what? Well, what happens next is of the utmost importance. What happens next shows you and me what we are supposed to do now with this spirit of revival that has been in our midst. What happens next in this passage of Scripture, I think will surprise you. But I want you to understand that it is what happens next that tells us what we're supposed to be doing, okay? The first thing that I want you to see, as soon as the revival was over and they came down the mountain, you need to keep your Bibles open here to verses chapter 17. When they came down the mountain, they came down to find that there were sick people who needed to be healed. Look at verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. They no sooner get down the mountain after experiencing a great revival. They no sooner get down the mountain until they're faced with the real world. They no sooner get down the mountain than they're faced with a crowd of people and all the demands that go with that crowd. Mark tells us that the disciples who had been left in town, they were surrounded by the crowd. The crowd was listening to an argument that was going on between the disciples and some of the teachers. And Matthew says that Jesus and the three disciples, when they get down, the first thing that happens to them is they are met by a man whose son is sick. We've all had this kind of thing happen to us before. We've gone to, on vacation and come back to a desk full of papers or an office full of problems or people who need to see you right then. Or maybe you get back from vacation after you've been living in Houston, Texas for a while, and it's 105 degrees that week, only to discover that the only plug that was in that garage that had the freezer over in the corner was ran by an extension cord up into the ceiling, and when the garage door closed, the garage door caught that extension cord and pulled it out. My mom and dad were not blessed when we got back from that vacation. Oh my goodness, the whole house smelled like rotten food. You know? You see, just because these disciples had been with Jesus did not mean that the real world was not out there. They were still going to have to deal with the problems of the real world. There were all kinds of people in this crowd. There were those who were sick. There were those who were demon-possessed. There were those who were spiritually sick, and there were the minds of the teachers of the law who were trying to catch the disciples in acting in a way maybe that they shouldn't have been acting. And these three disciples, they leave the glory and the splendor of God Almighty on the mountain to come down to people who needed to be healed. I want to tell you something, folks. In the coming weeks, because of what God has put in you, you're going to meet people that are going to need maybe more than you have to give them of in your own self. But God has used this past week of revival to take and to pour into you so that when you do meet those people who need to be healed, you're going to have exactly what you need to meet the needs of the world that is around you. Great revival. Now what? Not only were there sick people who needed to be healed, you're going to love this one, but there were also taxes that needed to be paid. Look at verse 24, chapter 17. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the two drachma tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Well, now that's just what all of us want to hear, isn't it? I loved how we got three extra days this year, wasn't it this year? I mean, it went from April the 15th to April 18th, isn't that right? Weren't you blessed that you got 3 days more? Y'all aren't laughing about that like I thought you should be, you know? I've heard all my life that there are two things in life that are sure, death and taxes. And what's interesting about this is even Jesus got caught in that situation. See, we don't think about that, do we? I mean, this wasn't a tax levied by Rome. This was a tax that was charged by the temple to support the work of the temple. And every Jewish male between 20 and 50 had to pay the tax. And one commentator said that because Jesus had been away from his hometown for a while, the person collecting the tax was basically accusing him of dodging his duty. Many times we get caught up in a spirit of renewal, and we get caught up in a spirit of revival. And I don't know about y'all at your house this past week, but I'm going to tell you, to get to church every evening, it was something else. Somebody ought to prepare dinner every night. Oh, that went over well, didn't it?
It's one of those things where Susie gets off at 4:30, and by the time she gets here, it is about 5, 10 minutes after 5. We go over to Zaxby's, or I have Zaxby's salad sitting on the table, and we choke it down, and we're over here by 5:30 to get everything ready and going. And I hadn't even talked to Tyler about what all he had to do, but I watched some of you come in and you were dragging kids in, or you were dragging a husband or wife in. I really thought that we probably should have put it at 7, but I'm telling you, if we'd gone to 7, it'd been 9 o'clock before we got out, and Susie turns into a pumpkin about 8:30. The reality of all this, folks, is we have enjoyed the blessings of God. Oh my goodness, hadn't He been good? To be fed as we were fed. I told Billy after the service Wednesday night, after he preached there from Mark and he connected all of those chapters in Mark together, I said, I've been doing this a long, long time. And I said, I have never seen anybody connect all that like you connected it. That's why I said this morning, you got hamburger helper this morning, not filet mignon. Oh my goodness. But now we go back into the real world, don't we? Now we head back to school. Now we head back to work. Now we head back to all of these things that we are doing. And I'm going to tell you, if you go into work or you go into school and you begin to talk about what God has done, I'm going to tell you, from time to time, accusations will fly and people will say, well, you're trying to be holier than thou. Or you're trying to do this, or you're trying to... Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We have experienced God's presence, but the real world kept going. And you and I are in this world. We are not of this world. And it is our duty, and I'm going to get to this a little bit more here in just a little bit. It is our duty to take what we have experienced, even though the taxes have to be paid, even though the mundane continues, it is our responsibility to take the excitement and the experience and take it into the real world that is around us. Jesus tells Peter in verse 27, but so that we may not offend them, go to the lake, take and throw out your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and there you're going to find a coin. Take it and give them. Isn't it amazing how God provided exactly what they need when they needed it in a miraculous way? And please understand, as you go about your mundane life from time to time, God's going to provide in miraculous ways the things that you need. As soon as the revival was over, they came down. Not only the taxes to be paid, but they also find that they came down to conflicts that had to be resolved. It's amazing to me. Verse 1 of chapter 18, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You go over to Mark chapter 9, verses 33 and 34, and you find this is enhanced a little bit because it says, they came to Capernaum when he was in the house, and he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? Verse 34 says, but they kept quiet because they had argued about who was going to be the greatest. Luke tells us about it in Luke chapter 9, verse 46, that there was an argument that had started among the disciples as to which one of them would be the greatest. Probably Peter, James, and John began to, even though they had been instructed to, they came down and began to talk about what they had seen. Come on, read the Bible with a little imagination. You know how people are. Something good happens to you. What's the first thing you do? You tell it. Even though somebody said, don't tell this, well, I know this sister so-and-so over here, she'll want to know about what God has done in my life. Well, you go and tell sister so-and-so about it, and she gets mad. I can tell y'all have never been in church. You know? And I said this a moment ago, and I want to come back to it. One of the things that I have noticed about great times of renewal, great times of revival, where there has been a significant move of God, the devil will always try to stir problems after it is over. I mentioned earlier about Elijah and the revival that happened there in 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah had no sooner come down from the mountain than he was on the run from Jezebel. I mean, the early church in Acts chapter 6 had no sooner solved the problems of the widows that were going without until trouble arose and Stephen is stoned to death. The disciples have no sooner got down from the mountain before a little bit of pride and a little bit of jealousy began to destroy what had happened on the mountainside. And please understand that unless we're careful, the devil will do his best to destroy what God has done. And the amazing thing is that what God took a week to do, the devil can destroy in a moment. Now, that is not because the devil is more powerful. That's because you and I allow him to. Shall I say that again? It is not that the devil is more powerful than God. It is that you and I will allow him to do that. A little pride, a little jealousy can undermine and can remove from us what God has so graciously given to us. And like I said a moment ago, Peter, James, and John, they might have got a little prideful about what they had seen. And maybe the others were already jealous because they were chose to go up on the mountain with Jesus. Do you remember the little chorus? It said, "The devil is a sly old fox." I'm not even getting any head. Thank you, Eugene. I'm glad you're nodding over there. The devil is a sly old fox. If I would, I'd put him in a box. Put him in the box and throw away the key. Lock the box and throw away the key for all the dirty tricks he's played on me. I learned that in Vacation Bible School 100 years ago. You know? And much to the detriment of saying this, Billy saying I was 49 was not the truth. I'm actually just 50. Yes, we will have the invitation here in a few moments. The reality was that the devil brought division among people who were going down to the mountain, but there were conflicts there that needed to be resolved. The last thing that I want you to see this morning is that there were people that needed to be healed. There were taxes that had to be paid. There were conflicts that had to be resolved. But I want you to notice lastly this morning, chapter 18, verse 5, there were people that needed to be won. There were people that needed to be won. You find there, as they're having this discussion, and Jesus talks to them. And he tells them that a little child, stood this little child among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." Baby day. And I had not even planned it. I didn't even think about it till right then. That's the truth. God knows my heart. You go over to Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord, it's the same event. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus came down from the mountain. Jesus knew that there were people that needed to be healed. Jesus understood that the mundane things, the taxes had to be paid. Jesus understood that there were going to be conflicts between those people to whom he was going to entrust the kingdom. But Jesus also understood that what had happened in them was now to flow through them so that people around them could be won. He came down and ministered to that boy that was sick. He came down and took care of the everyday activities. He came down and answered the question about who was going to be the greatest. But he came down to send them out. He came down to send them out. It's kind of interesting as you look at this that Jesus brings the kid, brings the child and sits among them. Every seminar that I've been to in the past probably 10 years has pointed out to us how important kids are in our local church. It's amazing, isn't it? Without the sound of the children, without the running of the children, and yeah, sometimes you know, some of us old folks, please understand, without the children, there is no future. Shall I say it again? Without the children, there is no future. They are not somewhere out there. They are somewhere right here. And we are here to minister to them. And Jesus says to them, as he's sending all these people out, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. Every morning at 10:02, my watch buzzes. And if you're not doing this, I want to encourage you to do it. Put it in your phone. Set an alarm that every day at 10:02, your alarm will go off so that you'll be reminded to pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest field. And folks, please understand, the harvest field is all around us right now. Susie and I came, and when we came to interview and came to talk to the board, one of the first places that we went was Walmart. Susie told me one time, she said, "I'll move anywhere you want to go as long as there's a Walmart." You know? And we got out. After we had ridden around Crossville that afternoon, we got out and we went in Walmart and walked around. And I knew, I mean, I understood that we're an older congregation. I'm not trying to be ugly, but let's be honest. I'm so thankful for the young families and the children that we've seen come. And I believe God is working, but I want to tell you something. They're not the only ones. This town is full of people of all different age groups that need to be won. This week I've been filling out reports for the church, and one of the things that I had to do, you're going to love this, one of the things that I have to do is I have to figure out how old all of you are. And so Mary and I sat there with a sheet of paper, and we went through the Sunday school rolls. And I said, Marcy Dodson, she said, she's in that age group. You know, I didn't say which age group, okay. And we went through and checked, and we went through and checked, and we went through that whole Sunday school roll because I have to turn that in. We're lacking in some areas. This 35 to 54 age group, we're missing a lot of folks in that area. In fact, that's our lowest number of people in our congregation. We're beginning to see that lower number of that 24 to 35 group go up, and praise God for that. And you look at those in mine and Marcy's age group, and we're doing pretty good there. And then there's another age group above that. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We can't look and say, well, we're just here. No, we are not just here. We are here to reach every age group. And just because statistics say that someone who is older can't get saved, that is hogwash. When God is working and alive, anybody can get saved. These folks, this 72, they were to go out and they were to teach and they were to preach and they were to touch and they were to help and they were to heal. That's all part of it. And we just didn't have revival so that we could say, oh boy, we got spiritually renewed. We got spiritually revived. Well, let me tell you something. If you getting spiritually renewed and you getting spiritually revived doesn't cause you to see with different eyes, then you didn't get it. I knew that sentence was not going to win friends and influence people. Renewal and revival comes about in our beginning to look at the fields that are white to harvest, that desperately need someone to reach out and to touch them and tell them that there is hope for their hopeless situation. And God wants to move. And God wants to help. That's what revival is all about. Revival should give us a greater urgency to get the message to people who have not heard and who may not have ever heard. That's what it's all about. Conclusion. I read this passage here in Matthew, and I believe it's one of the most amazing events in all of God's Word. These disciples were able to have a glimpse into eternity. They were able to have a glimpse of the glory of what heaven is going to be like. They were so enthused about what happened. They wanted to stay right where they were. They wanted to stay. But Jesus understood that the best thing that could happen for them was to get them back into the real world, back into the real world where they were sick, back into the real world where there were taxes to be paid, back in the real world where there were conflicts to be resolved, back in the real world where there are people to be won. Revival is good, but what happens next, what happens afterward is the real result. I mean, you can have a spiritual upheaval during revival meeting, but if you don't take that spirit of revival with you everywhere you go, then the revival has been of no value. If you don't take the renewal of that experience with you and spread it to those who are around you, then the revival did not come as we need it to come. Revival was great. Now what? Now you and I go into the world in which we live to heal the sick, to deal with the mundane, to resolve conflicts, but to win people to Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what I've been praying that would happen, is that we would go from this place to do things that we've never done before. And to reach a lost and dying world for the sake of Jesus. For the sake of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we're grateful for this opportunity that we've had to look into your word together this morning. Lord, we rejoice. We rejoice in your goodness and the ways that you moved among us as we were fed so in such a beautiful way. By your servant. But today is a new time. Today is a new service. And we need a fresh outpouring, even today, of your power and of your presence in our hearts and lives. In just a moment, Lord, we're going to open this altar. And maybe there are those that even this week, there have been conflicts. Even this week, the mundane seems to have caught up with them. Maybe there are those that need to be healed. Maybe there are those that need to be touched. But all of us in this room this morning know someone that needs to be saved. If we don't, then we need to make some new friends. So, Lord, I pray that in just a moment, as Pastor Tyler leads us in a song, that you, through the power of your Spirit, would speak to us and help us. That we would come and we would yield everything to you and say, oh God, I don't want the spirit of revival. I don't want the spirit of renewal to stop in me. I want to continue to do what you have called me to do. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to reach those that I can reach for the sake and the cause of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would help us to be open and responsive to you. Help us, oh God, that we might do what you have called us to do. And we thank you for this time of renewal, but Lord, we're thankful even in advance for what you're going to do in our hearts and in our lives, in our service and in our community because of this time that we've had together this morning. And we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? I want to encourage you that if the Lord spoke to your heart this morning, Maybe you've already been in conflict. Maybe you've already had to deal with the mundane of everything this week. Or maybe you saw somebody that you know needs to be saved and you just kind of stood there. We all have friends that need to be saved. And as I prayed just a moment ago, if we don't have friends that need to be saved, we need to make some friends that need to be saved. That's part of our job. That's part of our duty as Christians. The Lord spoke to you this morning. It may be about the service. It may not be about the service. But you need to come and bow here in this altar. There are people who love you and who appreciate you that will gather with you and pray with you if that's what you need this morning. Let's sing together. Amen.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take your cross and
into the world in which we live to heal the sick, to do the mundane, to resolve the conflicts, and to win people to Jesus. That's what we do. We're going into the mission field as we leave this morning. Remember that. Wherever you are, wherever you go, you're in the mission field. And we're there to win people to Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Go with us and help us, O God. May you send forth laborers into your harvest field, because the laborers are few, but the harvest is great. May we be those people that are here to win people to Jesus. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Hope you have a great day in the Lord.